Best wishes to all of you listening to this recording. I have the pleasure once again of being with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. I'm Rob Christie, a 75-year-old grandpa from San Clemente, California. Jim's home is in Arizona, and we do all this by the miracle of Zoom. What a blessing. Today, we'd like to talk about language and soaring affirmations. To put some more flesh on those bones, the quality of your reality creating, you know, what you manifest is a scorecard with your connection with Source, with the divine. Jim, take it away.
Well, so Rob, it's great to be here. I love our conversations. You know, this is not, we don't have a script. We don't have anything. The only thing we have is a timer to have some idea how long we've been going. And the intent is to drive it into, divide it into about three segments. But the quote, the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with Source, is a quotation that came out of Visionaries Thrive in All Times, my first book that came out in 2005. And in all of the years I've been writing and working on all of this, ultimately what's going on is learning how to become blended with Source, frequency of God, innate intelligence, whatever you want to call it. And that is a product of learning how to let go. In fact, I might throw in another quote kind of early on here, that resistance brings us more of the same, and allowing brings us something new and different in each moment. And the way you're going to end up accessing God, if you will, is through a letting go process. You're not going to get there by rigidly climbing a set of stairs or a rigid belief system. In fact, it's going to be absolutely the opposite. And as we touched on in the previous series, cannabis has a, you know, small amounts has a type of calming effect on the nervous system, or a certain type of relaxation shows up. And I'm talking about small amounts, for which as this rigidity drops away, we open up. And that is the name of the game, is learning how to open up so that, again, as we move away from rigidity and overload and move into allowing, we become blended with Source. And that is the biggest name of the game. And I could kind of jump all the way ahead by saying that as we become blended with Source, we become exponential in our contribution for making the world a better place.
Let me interject something really quickly here and get your feedback on it. I've been involved in the personal growth and transformation industry for four decades, and the vast majority of the advice I've received during those 40 years has been, you got to do something to get where you want to go. And I experience your work as taking 180 degrees the opposite tact and saying, no, it's not what you do, it's whether or not you allow, whether or not you are open to having a direct experience of God of some sort. If you don't, you're missing the boat.
You bring up an interesting concept, but there's, I'll give you an example. So for me, when I'm working on things, the first thing I do is make a decision. A lot of people have trouble making a decision about what they want next, but it's in making that decision, whether it's right or wrong, that I then compare what happens next as I, in other words, I make a stand on something. So it's not really just about allowing. It really isn't. You got to make a stand on what you want, and then you continue to refine it. But if you don't make that first choice point, the ability to then refine that choice point becomes kind of nebulous. So you have to have choices, and you continue to refine those choices but it's in allowing that the refining of those choices becomes available.
Thank you for the clarification.
It's actually huge, because manifesting isn't something where you sit back and you just create an apple out of thin air, because it doesn't actually work that way. But it's an evolution of understanding. And I'll give you an example, and I believe this is true. There's a lot of people that were at Maharishi International University in Iowa, Fairfield, Iowa. And what I understand from some people that lived there, whether that was that people meditated for 15 or 20 hours a day or something like that. And all they got was spacey, super spacey. Now, I meditated for my first 10 years and I got 49 years now. But when I was as a meditator, I had goals. And that's the difference between me and a lot of those students at Maharishi International. And I'm not making light of the transcendental meditation people. I'm just using an analogy that we have to have something to do. We have to have something to push against. We have to have something to refine, for which allowing is a component of that. And so meditation plus choices actually work together the best. And so, for example, I was 23 and I was harnessing the subconscious mind. I was into goal setting and meditation. And, I had a 40-foot sailboat. I put the deposit on that boat when I was late. I was less than 26. February of 1976, and my birthday was in May. There I am coming down the intercoastal with my 40-foot boat. No family money, no nothing, but it's harnessing the conscious subconscious mind, goal setting, and meditation. And so allowing is a big part of it. Well, the part of it, so what you do is you decide what you want and you allow, because insights will come in and you refine what you want. You continue to refine it until the cosmos and your refined vision of what you want show up, boom, manifestation. And because the universe was a big chunk of your decision making and your choice making, you end up with something bigger than you could have pulled off on your own.
Well, Esther Hicks would say, without desires, you don't draw in the energy of God, which is what keeps you going, what keeps you alive, what keeps you interested in life.
Yeah, she calls it the vortex. And I listened to Abraham Hicks, have the highest regard for Jerry and Esther Hicks. I know Jerry's gone, makes no difference. Highest regard for them and Abraham. And so, one of the things Abraham would say, and again, highest regard for Abraham. Our thoughts are essential. Our language is essential, but our language comes from our inner being. In other words, we can listen to our language and hear where we're at internally, because a lot of us have a lot of debris. We started out with a lot of debris and a lot of errors and a lot of this and that. And allowing, by the way, is how you let that stuff go, because trying to clear it up and go in there and sort it out, that's a language all by itself. And see, what the problem is when you try to address the problem that you've been carrying your whole life, the shortcoming of that is it becomes your focus, and you'll never escape what you don't want by trying to remove it. What you do is you move to a state of what you want that is so big that it simply dwarfs the old what you don't want. And of course, that's what soaring affirmations are about. We'll touch on that later. But our language is an indicator of what we believe and what we know to be so, accurate or not. And so one of the things we want to learn to do is clean up our language, and you'll find that that goes part and parcel with this internal mechanism of better understanding ourselves, which our language naturally cleans up. And I promise you, then fighting what's wrong or trying to solve all those old wounds or clear up all that old wounds, like psychology in the 80s was all about talk therapy, and all you did was you talked about the problem. And actually, psychology, I think, is kind of, when I say died out, it's kind of evolved into something else. I don't think it went anywhere big. And I guess, of course, psychologists are a great group of people, because they're into that inner mechanism, but they don't get that what you want to do is you want to build where you want to go, and you want to make it so big. And where that frankly is your connection with source. That's the biggest goal and the only goal we should have. And it will then dwarf all of our old thinking and our old wounds and our old this and that, such that they lose their relevance because our attention has become on what we want. And what we want first and foremost is our connection with source, for which then everything else unfolds.
Are there processes in your system, Jim, that would support a person in listening to their own self-talk and getting some understanding that that's a mirror of where they're at and not where they want to go?
Well, we touched on, I don't know if we've used that quote in this particular conversation, the idea that, what was it? The quality of your reality creating, how poor or high quality your surroundings are, for which you are the only person responsible. Now, somebody can come in and, give you a hard time, for which you then react to them, and that changes your reality. They didn't change it. You reacted to them, or you don't. But the point is, the quality of your reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of your connection with source. That little statement says an awful lot, because introspectively, we can see what we have in our world, how many arguments we have, or how many fights we have, or how much, or the quality of our friendships. Do they lift us up, or do they kind of hold us in shortcoming because we kind of all community together from a lower octave perspective? And so the quality of our reality creating is a scorecard for the quality of our connection with source. And we can take that apart as much as you want, but I think it's an interesting statement. It comes out of Visionaries Thrive in Old Times, which came out in 2005, my first book.
It rings absolutely true for me in my own experience. And the blessing was, as I began to realize the truth of that, there was a reduced predilection to create the same thing I'd created the day before, and an openness to possibility that wasn't there before. And our relationship and the things you shared with me have been a significant part of that.
So curiously, so first off, you're open. The reason we have conversations is because you're open to them. Not everybody is. There's certain people, I'll just say, some people have a rigidity. And rigidity comes from a type of overload, or just overload, such that they can't take on anything new. They can't add anything. And so even though somebody's standing there with a, I don't know what a golden plum is, I just made that up. But, somebody has a gift for you, but it's unavailable because your system and your head and even your heart is in overload, and new things coming in as big a gift as they might be, simply aren't available. And so that game of moving away from resistance and overload is a product of allowing. For example, let's say you find yourself in resistance to what I'm saying. You have a choice of resisting it or simply allowing it. And in allowing my remark, it's not like they're going to change you or make you, you're going to get something you don't want, but allowing resistance brings you more of the same. And if you're already in resistance, we don't need more resistance. And at some point we learn how to begin to allow on small things. And as allowing grows, resistance drops. And that's the beginning.
Share with us how soaring affirmations support one in making the transition that you're talking about.
All right. First off, soaring affirmations is a concept I developed, and maybe it'll come to me how it all originally formed. But a soaring affirmation would be where you take an affirmation. like a long time ago when I was putting my first boat together, my big boat, my 39. I had goals. In fact, one of my goals back then was suntan feet. Only way you're going to have suntan feet is, the idea is being on a boat full time. But back in the old days, an affirmation would be like, I want a new red convertible, Chevy 4-speed, 396 engine, whatever. And so an affirmation would be, I want a new red convertible. A soaring affirmation might be, the simple version of that would be how you'd rather feel, because you don't really want the red convertible. Yes, you do. But what you really want is how that red convertible makes you feel. So that's an octave up in an affirmation setting. But the truest affirmation, as we look at this from an octave perspective, instead of wanting a red convertible, instead of wanting how we feel, we really want how our connection with source delivers everything that we might ever want. So a soaring affirmation bumps up to where our affirmation is clearly interrelated with our connection with source, because our highest aspiration, our highest possibility as a human being is to become blended with source, to be re-enable that connection. So any kind of an affirmation can be up-leveled several times, like red convertible, how you want to feel, to the affirmation actually being about your connection with source, for which everything then becomes available in that kind of a reflection, bigger than what your mind would ever know that you think you need.
Well, as I listen to you, Jim, it sounds like a process I would label as spiritual maturation. In your example, you started with the desire for a convertible. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But then, having achieved the convertible, the possibility opened to you. Gosh, maybe Esther Hicks is right. My only job is to feel good. So you move into to that, and that opens up the possibility that, golly, what's beyond this is a simple, profound connection to source.
I like to call it a
And
partnership.
you went through all three. And your process supports other people in going on a similar journey, starting wherever they happen to be, as
So
I understand it.
let's take this a half step further, since you talk about other people. So the Map of Consciousness by Dr. David Hawkins is a arbitrary scale of 0 to 1,000. It's based on kinesiology. It's exponential or logarithmic, and the bottom of the scale, between 0 and 175, are the states of apathy, fear, grief, anxiety, rage, etc., up through pride at 175. And at 200, what I call the breakpoint on the map, is labeled courage, because it takes courage to step out of pride. It takes courage to step out of apathy. It takes courage to step out of anger and resentment and this and that. And courage is an introspective tool that begins you onto a new journey into neutrality, into spiritual reason, into allowing, into joy, into peace, and on and on. And as you move up that map, what's curious is, as you move up that map, and maybe I can put it up as part of this video for a minute and display it, as you move up the map, you move farther away from, at the very least, profound resistance when you're really at the bottom of the map. When you're in despair, that is just a variation on resistance and rigidity and overload. And as you move up the map, you move away, allowing is what allows or causes resistance and rigidity to fade, because it's the inadvertent focus and being stuck where you are that you simply go around in circles. in depression or whatever it is. All your energy is frozen and stuck. And yeah, you need help out of that for anyway. Post-traumatic stress is an extreme example of being caught in a mental circle where you can't get out of it. One of the things that works very well, as we've been touching on different kinds of psychedelics and whatever, is psychedelics, plant medicines are a very good a way of breaking that limited boundary of depression or post-traumatic stress, which is actually high beta frequency where you're stuck in that hypervigilance and you can't break out of it. So it takes more than courage, but some people do want to get help. And so the psychedelics is one of those things that breaks that. And then you can see the light of day. And then courage is where you take off. But you see, allowing is what it all takes. And so allowing actually comes from courage. It takes courage to move into allowing. Why? Because you're moving into the unknown with allowing. With resistance, you know what you're going to get, even though it's unconscious or subconscious, you're going to get more of the same, because resistance brings you more of the same. Allowing brings you something new and different in each moment, because of course, resistance is focus. Speaking of Jerry and Esther Hicks, resistance, focus, what you focus on expands. Resistance is powerful focus with often an emotional component. And it takes courage, it takes willingness, it takes wanting to move out of that. And as you do, allowing becomes bigger. And as allowing becomes bigger, as resistance drops away and allowing becomes bigger, you naturally become blended with source as a product of allowing. And the higher you go on the map in allowing, the more you become blended with source. And the fun part of that is the higher you are on the map, the more blended you are with source, the more exponential you become, to the point that one person at 700 on the map of consciousness, and 700 is a really high number, it's the beginning states of enlightenment, one person at 700 on the map counterbalances the negativity of 70 million people below 200. That says one of two things: that 10 million people below 200 aren't very powerful. They might be noisy, because that's what we have on the planet, a lot of people and a lot of resistance, and they are noisy. But one person at 700, one person blended slash partnered with God, and it's not a mind-driven experience, because allowing is not mind-driven. You have to learn how to let go to work your way up the ladder. That's why the courage, that's the ballsy part, is the ability to let go, not knowing where you're going to end up. But as you move up the map, you become blended. So one person at 700 counterbalances the negativity of 70 million. One person at 600 counterbalances the negativity of 10 million. One person at 500 counterbalances the negativity of 750,000. And that's the power of allowing, because all things humans, we need to learn how to take care of each other. We need to discover what we've learned, share it with others.